Okay, so as advertised, are non-competition clauses. But just before we start the cases, the issue involved is if I make a kinyan that I'm going to give you something. I promise I'm going to give you $10,000 and I make a kinyan, so do I give you my handkerchief or something, my gartel. So the kinyan works, right? You make a kinyan to make a transaction. That's a normal way to make a kinyan. Suppose I make a kinyan that I promise that I'll stay home tomorrow. I'm making a kinyan with you that I'll stay home tomorrow because you, whatever reason you wanted me to stay home, I make a kinyan that I'm not going to do something. I make a kinyan that I won't go to the other store to buy over there. Right? So most poskim hold, the Eruv Shai has a lot about that, there's a Shai and Shua Shai. Most poskim hold that in that case, there's no kinyan. You didn't make a kinyan on anything. You made a kinyan that you're not going to do something. A kinyan has to be that I'm acquiring something. Right, I'm acquiring something. I'm transferring ownership of my property, my money, to you. And there's seats over here if you want to. That's what a kinyan has to be, that I'm giving over something to you, but I'm promising I'm not going to do something. And even if I promise I'm going to do something, that's a machlokas, whether that's a kinyan devarim. I promise I'm making a kinyan, I'm going to mow your lawn. I know that also might be just a kinyan devarim. It might not be a real thing, but certainly if I make a kinyan I'm not going to do something, that involves, that's very shaky that such a kinyan should have any force. The question is if that same thing will apply in cases of employment. These are the two cases. The first case happened, this case happened four or five years ago. I'm not in Baltimore and I'm changing the case also, so in case you know it, you won't know it. There was a guy in a city who knew how to make chauffeurs. He had a chauffeur making business and he hired an employee, but he told the employee, look, you're working over here. You're going to learn how to make chauffeurs. This is something that took me years to learn, and I had training. And right, you're going to learn the secrets of how to make a chauffeur. So I'm hiring you on the condition that you don't open up a competing business against me. You can move out of the city and open a chauffeur factory somewhere else, but I'm allowing you to work for me. I'm allowing you to work for me on the condition that you don't open up another chauffeur factory. The Chassam Sofer has another question. The Chassam Sofer had a Shaila 160 years ago, and that's like Josh's Shaila. And that Shaila was that someone hired, his name was Rav Chaim, right? There was a Shochei Rav Chaim, and someone called Dov decided that he wanted to learn Shechita, right? So he went to this Shochei Rav Chaim and he paid him to learn the Malacha of Shechita, and Rav Chaim gave him a certificate at the end, his Kabbalah, that he could be a Shochei on the condition that you don't start Shechting in my territory, right? That was the condition, right? That's also like a non-competition clause. I'm giving you the certificate for Shechita on the condition that you don't open up a competing business. So let me repeat the two cases and I want to see if you can hear the difference between them. The first case was, I hired you to work in my chauffeur factory on the condition that you do not open up a competing chauffeur business. The second case is,
at all?
Yeah, at all, as long as, you know, whatever the clause was. But, you know, that you don't open up a competing business. The second case is, I'm giving you your Shechita certificate on the condition that you don't open up a competing Shechita against me. Right? They're both non-competition clauses. They're both, I'm making a kinyan with you, I'm making an agreement with you that you should not open up a chauffeur factory, you should not open up a competing Shechita. What's the difference between the two cases? In the first case, the employee has a non-competition clause. Right, the person was working as a chauffeur maker and he committed himself not to compete. Right, the first case, the employee had the clause, In the second case, the employer. Right? The student. We've said before that if you hire a teacher, the teacher is the employee, and you, the student, are the employer. So in the second case, it's the employer who had committed himself not to compete. Right? So, and your chiluk is a result of that, I think. Right? But that's the two halakhs we have to discuss. The first case is, what's halakha if an employer, if an employee decides to agree to a non-competition clause? And the second case is, what happens if it's the employer who had agreed to a non-competition clause? Right? Those are the two cases that we're going to discuss. Because the Gemara is very sketchy. The Gemara is just like an introduction, and we're doing this here tonight because it's Nadei of the Parsha. As I said, over Shabbos. We'll see in a second. The Gemara in Darim says, Hamudar Hanami Chaveiro, if I made a neder that I'm not going to get any pleasure, any benefit from my friend, from Reuven. So the halacha is, the halacha is that if you make a neder, you could always go to a bezdin, and the bezdin could annul the neder. They could do hataras and darim like we do every Erev Rosh Hashanah. Right? But if I made a neder that I'm not going to have any benefit from a certain person, I can't be matur that neder, I can't annul the neder unless that person is there. Different reasons are given. The main one of the reasons is because he shouldn't, if he knows that I made the neder and all of a sudden I start coming to his house, well, what's going on? Why don't you neder? So I have to annul the neder in his presence so he knows that the neder has been annulled. How do we know this? Menani Mili Amr, how do we know it? Amr Abnachman Dixiv, because the Pasuk says by Moshe Rabbeinu Vayom Hashem Moshe B'Midyon, Hashem said to Moshe B'Midyon, Lech Shuv Mitzrayim, go back to Mitzrayim, Ki Mesu Kol HaAnoshim, because all the people that are trying to hurt you have died. So Amr Lo, the Gemara makes a drasha, Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu, B'Midyon Adak Telecha, in Midyon you made a nether, V'Hater Nedarecha B'Midyon, annul your nether in Midyon. What nether did Moshe Rabbeinu make? Dixi, because the Pasuk says, Vayoel Moshe L'sheves im ha'ish. Moshe Rabbeinu made a nether that he would stay with Yisro. In return, Yisro gave him his daughter Tzipporah. Right? The Medrash explains it. Yisro talked to Moshe Rabbeinu, I know from what you're like. Your grandfather Yaakov Avinu went and married two of Laban's daughters, and in the middle of the night he just ran out. I'm afraid I'm going to give you my daughter, and you're going to do the same thing. So I'm only going to let you marry Tzipporah on the condition that you make a nether that you're not going to leave me in the middle of the night. Vayoel Moshe Rabbeinu agreed to make the nether, but now came time for him to go to Mitzrayim. So Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, look, you made a nether that which was Nogeya Yisro. You receive some benefit from Yisro, the way the Rabbeinu Tam says. You can only annul the nether in his presence and get his permission to leave, as we'll see. And that's what happened. That's the Gemara. That has nothing to do with us. But from this Gemara, the Rivash says a halacha. The Rivash had a shayla, also not directly concerning our case, but we'll get there soon. The Rivash had a shayla. If I made a shruah or another that concerned another person, can I annul that neder or shvua even though I will still have a financial obligation to him? But I promised a certain thing to someone and I made a neder. I committed myself to pay him $1,000 and I made a neder, I'm going to do it. Can I annul the neder because I don't want to have to worry about having a veir chas v'shalom of a neder? Can I annul the neder or shvua even though I will still be financially obligated? So the Rivash brought a raya from Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, over here, in this case, Moshe Rabbeinu promised he would not leave Midyan. Right? That's what he promised. He would not leave Midyan. And he made a shua. And the halacha is, Rabbeinu Tam says, that the halacha is, even though the Gemara says he's supposed to be matirit in Yisro's presence, but if b'diyeved he was matirit somewhere else, b'diyeved the neder would be annulled. So the Rivash says, look, over here you were saying the neder would be annulled even though Moshe Rabbeinu has a commitment. He made a commitment that he's not allowed to leave. He received Tzipporah, that favor from Yisro, so in return he committed himself not to leave Midyan. and he has to keep that commitment. So we see that you could annul a neder, even though you still have that financial, that monetary obligation to keep. Right? That's what the Rivash says. Okay? You'll see what it has to do with us in a second. The Mishnah Melech says, I don't understand the Rivash. Right? It's the last thing on the front page of the handout. He says, where do you see that a kinyan works, or that anything works for something that you're not going to do? Right? This was like a non-competition clause. Moshe Rabbeinu promised, I'm not going to leave Midian. That's a negative promise. He didn't say, I'm going to do something. I'm not going to work for you. I'm not giving you anything. His commitment was not to leave. So the Mishnah Melech says, to make a kinyan, I'm not going to leave, that doesn't work. So even though here there might be a case of schirus, which the Rivash says there is a case of schirus here, even though there might be a case of employment here, I still have no commitment. There's no monetary commitment not to do something. Right? That's the machlokes, the Rivash and the Mishnah Lamela. What's the machlokes? What are they arguing about? So there's two main ways of understanding the machlokes. The first is the Erech Shai's way of understanding, and the second is the Chassam Sofer. Right? What employment was going on with Yisro and Moshe Rabbeinu? Who was the employer and who was the employee? Right? Yisro is giving Moshe Rabbeinu Tzipora. Moshe Rabbeinu is agreeing not to leave Midian. Who's the employer and who's the employee? Right. Who's working for who over there? Yisro is the employer. I'm giving you the payment, and Moshe Rabbeinu in return is working by not leaving. Okay, so that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that, and this is the way the Erev Shai looks at it. You see, there's some Sofer says like you. The Erev Shai looks at it, maybe this is the way you want to say it. The Erech Shai says, no. What kind of employment is that not to do anything? He says, Moshe Rabbeinu is the employer. Yisro is working for him and giving him Tzipora. In return for Tzipora, Moshe Rabbeinu's payment is, as an employer he has to pay, is, I'm not going to leave Midian. The Erech Shai looks at it in this way. He's saying that Moshe Rabbeinu is receiving a commodity, his wife, and in return, his payment, what's the payment? Don't leave Midian. And the Erech Shai understands, so that's what the Rivash is saying. So the Rivash is saying, even though I can't make a kinyan not to leave Midian, but to pay a worker, if I'm committed to pay an employee with such a commitment, that then the commitment does apply. To make stam a kinyan, I can't make a kinyan not to do something, a negative thing. That, there's no such kinyan like that. But over here where I agreed to pay a worker, to pay Yisro, by not doing something, that's the payment. That's what the Rivash holds. The Mishnah Melech says, no, we mean if you can't make a kinyan, if this commodity, this act of not doing something is not subject to kinyanim, so then I can't, there's no commitment of employment also that I can't leave because of this commitment of employment. But the Erech Shai says, of course, even though there's no formal commitment as an employee's payment, but if you receive the favor, you can't, it'd be stealing. You can't keep Tzipora for nothing, right? Here, Yisro agreed to give you Tzipora on the condition that you don't leave Midian, and now you're breaking your deal, so you have to give Tzipora back. You don't want to give Tzipora back, so then you have to make some deal with Yisro to pay him off to do something. Right? That's the machlokes, the Rivash and the Mishnah Lamelech. That the Rivash holds that there's a formal commitment as an employer to pay your employee, even though it's something that's a non-competition issue. You still have to pay. The Mishnah Melech says there's no such commitment like that, but if you receive the favor, it might be a problem of stealing, so you have to return the favor or make some deal. But there's not a formal commitment as an employer to pay like that, because it's not a real commodity. Not doing something's not a real commodity. at the Simach Lokis, if the Erek Shai understands between the Rivash and the Mishnah Lanel. Right, we'll see, we'll make it clear soon. We'll see Lahalach Lamaisa, there's going to be the cases that we spoke about. Okay, so that's the way he understands. The Chassam Sofer looks at it the other way. He says, no, Yisro is the employer, Moshe Rabbeinu is the employee. Yisro is the, this is what you said, right? Yisro is the employer, and he's saying, look, I'm going to pay you with my daughter at Tzipora. Your job, what's your job? Your job is not to leave Midian. I see why the Eretz Yisrael disagrees with it, because it's like a funny type of payment. But that's the way the Chassam Sofer says. If some Sofer says, okay, which is on your hand at the second side, then he says, once Moshe Rabbeinu received this favor, he got Tzipora with the stipulation that he won't leave without Yisro's permission. He's like a sacher, he's like a worker for this. Even if he got his shvua annulled, he still has to do the job because he received his payment already in full from Yisro. So that's why he can't change his mind. And understanding it this way, the Chassam Sofer says the Mishnah Melech is just plain wrong. Because how can the Mishnah Melech, as you can start talking that you can't make a kinyan, you can't make a commitment to pay, but if someone hired you to do a job, you're hired to do a job which is not to leave Midian, so you have to do the job or pay back your wages or do something. You can't just get paid and not do your part of the deal, not do your work.
And payment
in exchange
for doing a job.
No. We're not doing it. Whereas sometimes they might coincide, but we're saying there's no such thing as a kinyan not to do something. If I say, here's my gartel, and I want to make a deal with you that you're not going to leave Midian, that's meaningless. The issue here is, I'm hiring you, I paid you. I paid you $1,000, $10,000, I paid you my daughter, and your job is your work. What do you have to work? Your work is that you can't leave Midian. That's the difference. And the other case would be, that's the way the Chassam Sofer understands it. The Erech Shai understands it, that it's the same thing. If I give you my gartel and you can't leave Midian, that's meaningless. But suppose you work for me, and I agree to pay you by not leaving Midian, so my payment as an employer not to do something, that also will be binding according to the Rivash, and the Mishnah Lemelech says it won't. Okay, that's the two ways we're looking at it. So what's the halacha? I mean, it's complicated. What's the whole halacha? So let me tell you, let's go to this case of the Chassam Sofer. Right, the second case we introduced, and then we'll go back to the first case. The Chassam Sofer had the Shaila. I have part of it copied over. Rav Dov had written a contract with Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim was the old Shochet, and Rav Dov was learning Shechita, and he agrees to pay Rav Chaim the money to learn Shechita, and he writes, Ech shani chasul matim mekabel alai, I'm accepting upon myself that I'm not going to shech, I'm not going to do the dikas on my own, even without another shochet, except for it with your consent. And it's a long, he has a long commitment that this shochet made. And then the shochet said he wanted to get out of it because he didn't really mean it, and he didn't know what he was signing. He wants to get out of it. So there's some sofer paskins. In this case, even if there had been no shvuah, forget shvuahs here. In this case, if you hired someone, you hired the shochet, you hired Rav Chaim to teach you shechita, and you agreed, as part of your payment, you gave him money probably also, but as part of your payment, you agreed that you're not going to open up a competing shechita. If you renege on that, if you open up a competing shechita, so then you'll be over the issue of withholding the wages of an employee. Right? There's halacha, you're not allowed to withhold wages of an employee. Over here, the master shochet is the employee. You, the student, are the employer. And you're hiring this employee to teach you shechita. Part of the wages is that you're not going to compete with him. And then you compete. You have violated the iser of withholding wages of an employee. And he says that as a Dabar Pasha without talking about any Rivashas, or he just says it's a simple issue. And even though the Rivash, the Erech Shai, the Chassam Sofer, they didn't talk about it before, the Chassam Sofer is clearly paskening here in this second case that we mentioned in the beginning, that if you as an employer committed yourself not to do something as part of your payment to your employee, so there's nothing to talk about. It's lo sashok schar on Eve Avion. You're not allowed to withhold wages. Right, so what do you do now? What happens if he opens it up against the rules? So then there's a machlok there also, it seems like. The contemporary poskim. To the Pischei Choshen, Rabbi Blau, we quote a lot, you know, that long 7-8 volume set. He says, you violated the contract, so give back all the money. Pay back all, you have to pay him, like, you have to pay, you paid him that, give him the wages again. That's what he says. The Darkei Choshen, so another contemporary sefer, he said he disagrees with the Pischei Choshen, and he says, there's no value to this. This is a guy's parnasa, his whole parnasa is shechita. There's no price that you can put on the guy opening up a business next door, which might take away his parnasa. You just close him down or make some arbitrary number. That's Right. I'm saying, I wouldn't have taught it, so maybe for $10,000. I said, well, no, not for $10,000, $100,000. Right? This is my parnasa. This was the deal. So he understands that there's no price tag on that. And that's the way he looks at it. Okay, so that's simple. So now let's go back to the first case of the shofar factory. Right? We had the shofar factory, and here we're talking where the employee accepted upon himself not to compete, right? I worked at the shofar factory for 5 years. I was getting paid as an employee, but part of my agreement was that I will not open a competing shofar factory. And now I decide, I got in a fight, and I decide I won't open up a competing shofar factory. So what's the halacha? So based on the Chassam Sofer's understanding of the story with Yisro, right, if we understand the story with Yisro, that Yisro is the employer, and what is he paying? He's paying the wages of Tzipporah. And Moshe Rabbeinu is the employee. Moshe Rabbeinu is the employee. And what's his job? His job is not to leave. So in that case, if some sofer said, the halacha is like the Rivash, and Rivash said that it's a legal commitment. It's legal. The Mishnah Melech disagreed, but the Mishnah Melech might be talking about a different case. Some sofer said that he's wrong, but the Rivash said that there's a commitment. The Erech Shai is not disagreeing because he's holding that the whole case was different. He holds the case was like the case of the Shochei. So what we have is a Chassam Sofer and a Rivash. They both say that even though you can't make a kinyan for you not to do something, but if it's part of your job, you hired yourself out not to do a certain thing, you have a commitment to follow through with your schiras, with what you agreed to do. So let me close with one last case. Let's see how it works. In this case, there's a Daki Choshen says this case. There was a person who bought a new air conditioner that made a lot of noise, and the neighbor didn't like it because he couldn't go to sleep at night. So the neighbor said, so first they went to a Din Torah, and then they decided that he shouldn't run it after 11 o'clock. But the neighbor got older a few years later. He said, look, I know the psak was that you're not allowed to, you can run it until 11, but I'd prefer to go to sleep at 9:30. I'll pay you $10,000 if you agree not to run it after 9:30, and here's the $10,000. So he took the $10,000, and then he said, let's see, what's this? So I'm getting paid not to do something. This is a kinyan not to turn on my air conditioner at 9:30. So what's the halacha? Is he bound
to?
Okay, so that's one way up. But before, let's assume it's that I won't turn it on then. And by the way, just to bring up Moshe's point, it's a tricky thing here also. The Pesachei Choshen points out that sometimes, even though I hired you not to do something, I hired you not to leave Midian. Sometimes I'm really hiring you to stay here with me. And in fact, the Da'aki Choshen points out that maybe this whole thing with Yisro is not a good precedent for this case, because it's not so much that Yisro wanted Moshe Rabbeinu not to leave Midian. It's that Yisro said, I want you to Lashevus Imadi, I want you to stay with me. I want this chos of your Torah, I want this chos of my grandchildren here to see them. Right? It's not so much I didn't want you to leave, I want you to stay here with me, I want you to live here. So he says, Bechlau, maybe this wasn't a good precedent for the case. But the poskim do say that, even though it might be not doing something, but if it's really an action you're taking, that I don't want you to open your store, and that involves you locking it and putting a sign up, so that might be a real positive thing. So in this case also, if I'm saying I want you to turn off your air conditioner at 9:30, so that would be a positive thing, not a negative thing. But suppose I say I want you to leave it off. Anyway, he says that it's like the same case. The issue would be, which he raises, is suppose I was good. I kept it off 9:30 for a year, and he didn't pay me yet. And I said, now I go to him at the end of the year and say, okay, where's my $10,000? And he said, I was only fooling you. I'm going to pay you for not doing something. And that's a whole new shaila he raises, and that's outside tonight's topic. But if he had already paid him, and now you wanted to get out of the deal, you were paid not to do that thing, so I think it'd be clear. Like the case with some service understanding, with his understanding of Yisro at Tzipora, that if I'm paying you Tzipora, your job is not to leave Midian, and that's a binding job, so I'm paying you $10,000 for you to work for me. That it might be different that way, you're not really working for me. As I'm just giving you $10,000, I'm paying you off to not do something, maybe in that way it's different, it's like a Kenyan. But if I look at it, I'm paying you $10,000 and I want your work for me to be that you keep your air conditioner off, so you're the mechuyev to keep it off. So, in summary, it seems like it doesn't make a difference. If you're an employer who agreed as part of the wages, I'm not going to compete against you, you have to keep that that some server says because you'll be over Los Ashoks, Chara Sachir. You're going to be over that Yisro. And there, Shai's understanding of the case with Yisro and Moshe Rabbeinu is also like that. According to his understanding, Moshe Rabbeinu is the employer paying Yisro for giving him his daughter, not leaving. And Shai says, Allah is like the Rivash. He says it doesn't make a difference according to the Rivash. He has to do it as a Sachir. And even according to the Mishnah, he can't break that contract. He'll have to pay damages. So that's for sure. If you're the employer and you committed yourself not to do something, not to compete, you have a commitment of Lo Sashok, or maybe a Schirus. There's two or three reasons why you should have to keep that, and no good reason why you shouldn't, why you should be able to get out of it. If you're the employee, and you agreed as part of your work, your job is not to do something, so there also some service understanding of the Rivash is, and his Psak Halacha was, that it's fair and square. You were hired to do this job. The job might be not to do something, but you have to keep your job and you have to not do that thing, which is the non-competition or whatever the thing not to do was.